Welcome to Fandemic. Here we are. Once again, episode 2. My name is Kate. I've got Chris Roy on the phone, along with another very dear friend, Trina Taylor, who teaches environmental sustainability and political science at an urban community college in Washington State. She's been seeing fish since 97, when she caught her first monster tweezer at the Palace of Auburn Hills in Michigan. Want to say a couple of words about that, Trina?
Oh my God. There's just no coming back. There's no coming back. Okay, can anyone confirm for me, was there like smoke rising from the stage, or was that just the audience? Because it literally looked like they were in a freezer.
Chris, were you there?
I was not there either, but I would not doubt that there was actual smoke rising from the stage, because those guys are fire.
Yeah, so that meant it was all tweezer all the time forever. And yeah, I've just been chasing that song and the band since 97.
Since 97. And then you've also continued to keep on being the incredible person that you are and become a teacher. You taught in New Mexico for a while.
Yeah.
Moved up to the Pacific Northwest. Washington State was the first state where the novel coronavirus made its USA debut, kind of like that tweezer did for you back in Michigan.
I mean, the one thing they have in common is they're both sick.
They are both sick.
I love you. I love you both so much. I love you. That was a bad joke.
Sorry, that was a bad joke.
I love fish dorks. I absolutely love fish
this
dorks. We're all fish dorks. This is great. This is wonderful.
Trina, what is happening right now in Washington State?
Well, yeah, so we got the first cases, and that started to kind of get things started to get a little tense up in Seattle. I don't live in that area, but I'm really close to there. And after a couple weeks there, it popped up where I live and work. And yeah, the schools just started to go remote. So it started with the universities going remote, and then the governor put an order in that all schools had to go remote or shut down. And so on Tuesday, March 17th, I guess,
St. Patrick's Day,
all the schools had to shut down, no more classes. Now, for us here in Washington, we're on the quarter system, so that was pretty much the end of our quarter. That was the start of our finals. So all finals had to go online, which, of course, was a major upset. But we'd been warned, right? They'd been sending us emails for like a couple of weeks, kind of getting everyone prepared. They were starting to do professional development. And then when they pulled the plug, it was like we kind of knew it was coming. But I think there was still a lot of people that were maybe surprised, especially like the K-12 folks. I know there were people that had been like on vacation and they came back and their kids weren't in school anymore. And they were just like, what? Holy cow. And then, of course, there's a lot of schools on the semester system. So it's just like the middle of the school year for them, the middle of the semester. And all of a sudden they're now remote.
How is that going for them? Like, that must be a huge transition. I know it's a huge transition over here. Just the schools up here recently went to remote and they're all navigating it. They basically let the kids out of school for a week last week, and tomorrow, Monday morning, goes live for them all to be in these remote classrooms that these teachers are navigating. So how is that going out there? You guys are a couple weeks ahead of us in understanding how that process goes.
Right. So, I mean, for my school, they gave us an extra week off. Our spring break just started because we just finished up finals week. We're on the quarter system. And so they gave us our normal spring break and then an extra week to get prepared, because we're going to spend the entire spring quarter online rather than go online and then shift gears halfway through and go back to school, if that would even happen, right? A lot of people are saying, don't expect to see kids in classrooms till the fall. Yeah.
You're not going back.
So, and then the same thing for the Well, for the schools, they're, for the K through 12, and you'll probably hear this when you talk to other people at, in other places, there's a lot of concern that if you just make a school go remote and the learning continues, what about those kids from families or that don't have the technology, the internet? I mean, you've got, even if there's a computer in a household, like if mom's working remote and dad's working remote, or and then you've got a couple of brothers and sisters, I mean, who gets the computer when? You just don't necessarily have all this time to do this remote work. So my stepkids are 6 and or sorry, I'm sorry, they're 7 and 5, and their school just kind of gave us a handout and said, maybe we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And that was about it. It was
I know
yeah.
around here, at least they're trying to get tablets into the hands of those kids that don't have them. And I know that the internet providers around here are offering free internet for those houses that may not have it already coming in. So that's beneficial. But I absolutely see that. Like, you have a one computer household with five people who need to be on the computer. How do you do that? I just don't know, understand how these logistics are going to work.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of talk like between professors and online and elsewhere, and maybe you've heard some of this about, what do you do with grades now? Like the end of the quarter for us is a really stressful time, and we've got this global pandemic or pandemic, a global pandemic, and we've and we've got all this upset, people losing jobs, the economy is crashing, and they're supposed to take their finals like everything's fine. Like, how do you? And then for the people that are in the semester system that are just shifting gears like right over to remote learning halfway through, like how do you grade people? Like, how do you honestly and compassionately and like accurately grade people on the work they're doing when we're literally in a global emergency? And so MIT switched all their classes to pass/fail.
Well, that's the other thing, like, because you're going, if you were on campus and going to class, taking six classes, it's a lot, but it's not so bad. Do you want to be taking six online classes? Like, that's just ramp up the intensity. And that's what, like, these college seniors, any student is being forced to do at this point. And it's overwhelming. And yes, let's just keep on going on. Like, there's not this big global pandemic going on. Crazy.
Right. Yeah. And I will say, like, the colleges around here are still open. Like, the campus, you can come to campus, you can go to the e-learning center, you can get help in the computer labs, things like that. And I believe, like, a lot of the campuses, the dorms are still open. And so people are still living there. And then the cafeterias are still functioning, but they've got tons of new protocols, right? But so it's not like completely shut down.
Like what? Like what
Like what kind of
protocol?
protocols? So instead of having like open air things, everything's like packaged and you just grab like a
Just
single
grab
serving
it.
with your hand.
Right.
Yeah, that you take. So there's probably a lot more, wrappers and disposable packaging going on, and but not so much like there's no salad bars, like nobody's doing that.
Whoa, and so are students doing all right mentally health-wise, or are you able to connect with
Well,
them?
so
How do you teach?
that's the thing, right? Like it happened so fast and we just shut down and we didn't really get to say goodbye. And I've definitely had students reaching out to me. I had one student, bless her heart, she got at me pretty early and she was like, "Can political science predict a recession?" I was like, "Oh, I wish we could, but are you asking, are we about to have a recession? Because yeah, it does look like that, but we'll see." And that was like the first day that the stock market had started crashing. It was a couple days before my school went remote, but I had told my classes to go remote for the last 2 days of class because it just didn't seem like it was a smart idea to keep coming in when it wasn't completely necessary. So I
Yeah.
recorded the lectures and threw them up online, and I already had my exams online. That's a practice I do as a take home online exam anyway. So for me, it wasn't as disruptive, but man, people in the math department,
Oh, I can't even imagine.
they were freaking out. Yeah, and then the science department, like, how do you do online labs?
Absolutely. How do you do online labs? Like, that's hands-on.
They don't have any. They now have to develop them, which is a positive thing in some ways. One thing I think that's kind of cool, if you want to look at like the silver lining, is that in higher education, there's long been like a bunch of sticks in the mud when it comes to online learning, who don't want to convert their classes and they don't want to learn the technology and all
Because
the.
you can't do it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, they.
Like, you can't do it. Like, or at least that's their thing. But you're going to have to find out a way to do it with
Right.
all of this
So
coming
now we've got
through.
to be
Like,
creative, and the thing is, online learning is something that's really accessible for people that can't come to school as like so this is a way that could actually end up expanding the availability of education, especially if people, I mean, if every science professor in the country has to go online, you better believe that the best minds are collaborating to come up with the best online labs to, do or figure out this problem. I don't know, right? And so what could come out of this are some really solid practices for how to help people learn. Especially, they're saying this type of pandemic is maybe not, this isn't a one-time thing, right? Like this could be happening again and again, especially just because of how populated the world is, and so maybe this is a thing that we have to shut down sometimes to deal with these new outbreaks, and being able to pivot like really fast and agilely to this other platform where you can kind of keep the learning going is definitely like a thing that would benefit us
oh,
as a
absolutely.
society.
I think a lot of really good music is going to come from this, and
People are being creative right now. They're stuck in their houses. They're forced to figure out how to keep themselves entertained. And thank you, Trey, for those three really. It's been great. And that's what's coming from this.
Oysterhead got canceled, but Trey's home in his studio, and
And he's
he.
the ultimate doomsday prepper. He's ready. Like, he's been ready for this. Like, I know that he hates being away from performing, but like, he's still performing. Like, he gets to perform for us, and we love it and we enjoy it. And I hope he keeps doing it. And I know he will, because he's Trey and he just oozes music. So let's keep going,
Dude,
bud.
and well, yeah, and look at how he dealt with the New Year's debacle, rescue squad. I mean, like, so yeah, I'm sure Trey's gonna come up with some,
The first one in
yeah,
isolation.
right. He's definitely gonna come up with some good things out of this, because that's what fish does, right? They take these common experiences that we have, and they like weave their little magical music, whatever, and then you hear it and it's like, oh yeah, I can totally relate to that, right? And I don't know, this could end up being the anthem of the pandemic. Stay
Stay
home.
home.
Stay home.
Stay home.
Send one person out. Like, don't come out with your entire family. I keep seeing entire families in the grocery store. It's just baffling to me. And I get it. You guys are bored at home. Doesn't matter. Just stay home. You can still hang out in your backyard. You've got your family around you. If you're living by yourself, FaceTime with friends. Go for a walk, like, but keep your distance. Like, this is what's going to stop this, is if we just relax with this. Like, stop going out because you're home all day. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm with you, girl. I know. I wish people would get on board with but it's hard because, you know, we've had a lot of mixed messages coming out from the top level, and then even in our own immediate lives, right? Like some schools in my area closed before others did, and not because they had the virus, but because they were being proactive. It was heartbreaking. I came in one day, like a couple weeks ago. It was like one of the last days I came in, and my students were asked me, "Hey, how come the universities are closing down and we're not? Is it because we're a community college and we're poorer than they are?" And it was like, oh man, that's what they think. They think that their health is being put at risk. And to some degree, there's some truth to that, right? And so you've got like some businesses don't want to close, and you've got some schools that don't want to close. And I get all the reasons that people don't want to, but I feel like, do people understand what the alternative to not closing is? And I don't think that they do. And unfortunately, as you probably.
I think they think it's just like a mild
Right.
cold.
Well, and.
Like that, I think that's what people are thinking it, but that's it's for most of us, it could be a mild cold, but for the vulnerable of our population, seniors, young people, even people with underlying respiratory issues, like this is where the bigger problem is, and we don't have the infrastructure to be able to handle those people. We don't have enough ventilators, we don't have enough hospital beds
Right, and
for the
that's,
amount of people if this just keeps spreading.
yeah, and it's not like nobody's going to need any kind of emergency medical care throughout any of this. So the more you overburden the hospitals, that means that, like, if someone you love has a heart attack, if you fall down and like break something, if you have an appendix burst, you know, like you're also going to not be able to get adequate care for those things if our hospital system collapses, or God forbid, the nurses become so overworked and or sickened by all of this that we don't we run out of the manpower to even do the work, you know? But with all that said, I do think that one thing that's encouraging to me about like the toilet paper hoarding is like, okay, so there's definitely some people out there who are fucking like hunkering down for a while. So, all right. I mean, the stores wouldn't be out of TP if there weren't a good number of people taking this shit pretty seriously. So you know, that hand washing, people seem to be all up on that. So I we're taking some steps to slow the spread, and hopefully if we just continue to beat the drum and get the message out, then people will continue to like make better choices so that we can get in front of it.
Hey Trina, did you have any ideas about your song, about your fish song you wanted to play?
Well, you're not gonna kill me if I pick a really long one, are you? Okay.
Hey Trina, play any song you want, 'cause.
All right. So, once upon a time, I took this road trip to the top of Maine to see fish play at this Air Force base. It was one of the craziest times in my life. It was 2003, and it was it.
Oh, I love it.
And you know, I'm sorry, but 46 days has been on my mind throughout all of this because feels like we're going into this 46-day quarantine. Taste the fear. Taste the fear, right? And
Yes,
I don't know. I like to dive into shit when it
that's
gets heavy. So, I'm itching to hear that 8303 version of 46 days, which was long enough that I rocked out while I waited in the line for the Ferris wheel, and then got in the Ferris wheel and went around while the song was peaking, and got off the Ferris wheel, and it was still fucking going.
Yes,
Like
yes, yes.
those Ferris wheel lines are long.
Mm-hmm.